Good morning and welcome to the January session of the Court of Appeals. My name is Judge Inbody and I'm the presiding judge today. To my right, I'm joined by Judge Severs and to my left by Judge Irwin. We have all our cases are being recorded both by video as well as audio. When you come forward, I will call the case and then I'll recall it a second time, so simply for purposes of the audio recording. The first case this morning is In Re Interest of Sire E. Please, counsel, come on forward. First case is In Re Interest of Sire E. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Nicole Goley. I'm a deputy county attorney with Douglas County Attorney's Office practicing in the juvenile division. We have appealed this case for the reason that this case went on for several years with the beginning history of alcohol and drug abuse by the parents that placed the children at risk for harm. One of the children was born positive for drugs, and the other children were placed in protective custody. After approximately a year, the case was accepted into Judge Thomas's drug court, which meets on a regular basis, usually once per week. As it got closer to the summer of 2008, it came to the attention of all the parties through exhibits that were received by the court, made a part of the record, that the parent, the mother specifically, was continuing to test positive for drugs, continued to have a chemical dependency problem that rose to the level of recommendations by chemical dependency professionals that she needed residential treatment to treat this addiction that she had. Two particular hearings in the summer of 2008 in July, evidence was received regarding the positive drug screen as well as that chemical dependency evaluation that the parent needed that residential treatment. Our office found themselves in a situation where an affidavit was not going to be provided by Health and Human Services because of the policy that they have to place 24/7 safety services into the home of families to prevent removal of children. Because they believed that they were able to ensure the safety of the children while trying to long-term accomplish the successful goal of rehabilitation of that parent, we did not have an affidavit to provide to the judge as he indicated he would need for removal of the children at both of those hearings.
Is any of that information included in our record?
What's included in your record? No, Your Honor. What's included?
So can we even consider that?
I think you can consider that it was made clear on the record there was no affidavit that was going to be provided.
And the children were in the home?
They did.
And there was no indication that they were in a situation that they were in harm's way?
I don't agree with that. Because of the fact that the parent was continuing to test positive for drugs, and because of the fact that the chemical dependency evaluation that was made in the exhibit, part of the evidence, indicated that to kick this addiction, that the parent needed residential treatment, meaning to leave the home and go into a program, that those children were at risk for harm.
Did the court make a finding that that was the situation?
The court said on numerous occasions and in the order, in my opinion, he expressed that he held that sentiment by what he wrote in the final order and what he said at those two hearings, but he indicated, I'm waiting for pleadings. I'm waiting for an affidavit. My professional opinion is that we don't need an affidavit from Health and Human Services because we had evidence that we presented to the court. When we used affidavits...
But you didn't present any evidence as to the condition that the children were in, did you?
But the evidence was...
Did you present any evidence as to what the situation the children were in? I mean, as to their health and welfare? I mean, was there anything in the record as to their current condition other than the mother's condition? We're talking about the children's condition?
Only what was contained in the court report that they were being maintained in a safe situation because of 24/7 services being provided by the department. They were basically babysitting this family 24/7 until the time came when the mom was in residential treatment.
And you're saying that information was contained in our record?
In the court reports, Your Honor, they would indicate what the services are. No, they're not going to come out and say that we are providing 24/7 all day long, yes, safety services.
So we don't know that either, do we?
That is not clear on the record. What I can say is clear on the record is that they were, department provided us with the chemical dependency evaluation, which was made a part of the record. They provided us with the results of the UAs, which were made a part of the record. They did not provide us with an affidavit to remove the children.
Or the that they were in any situation that was dangerous to their health or welfare.
In that immediate time frame, that is true.
Is that a problem?
Absolutely. And I believe it's going to continue to be a problem. But I rely on that an affidavit would be needed if we were presenting the court with an ex parte motion to remove children. And then it would be set for hearing on the matter where we could have witnesses testify or evidence presented to the court why the children should remain out of the home. We didn't need to approach the court on an ex parte basis with an affidavit because we were in court every single week. At the last two hearings, we were in court with evidence that told the court this woman needs residential treatment. Her addiction is that severe. So I guess I'm asking the court to apply in terms of a parent whose addiction is so severe that they need to be removed from the regular environment and placed in a residential treatment center. How could a child be safe from this person's care?
In reading the record, apparently the judge indicated to your office that something needed to be filed, some sort of pleadings needed to be filed before the final hearing in order to do something with these children if you wanted something done. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And nothing was done. Is that correct?
That is correct. Our hands were tied and that we were not being provided with an affidavit from Health and Human Services. So instead, we relied on the evidence that the court had. I just don't understand why we would need an affidavit indicating that the children are at risk for harm when there was evidence that the court received at those two hearings by way of the positive UAs and by way of the chemical dependency evaluation indicating that residential treatment that was needed in the continuing...
But if you just look at the record, I mean, I understand you're giving us a lot of extra information that we don't have, but if you just look at the record, the children are returned home. They're maintained at home for an extended period of time. There's no reports or anything that there's any problems at home. True, there's a problem with drugs and alcohol, but that, you know, how severe that really is, other than, you know, possibly having to go into inpatient treatment, which no determination has been made on that. I just don't understand, I guess, why the judge would be wrong to say that if you don't present me with something, I'm going to have no alternative but to say that there's no evidence that this proceeding needs to continue, realizing that it's not with prejudice, of course, and that you could always refile.
Right. I believe that there was sufficient evidence. The chemical dependency evaluation indicates that she shouldn't even be in a home parenting right now, that she should be receiving this chemical dependency treatment. She has been in the same addiction for 2 years. So I just don't see how a parent could parent when they're continuing to use drugs and the recommendation is to go to that treatment. I believe that the court should have ordered the removal of the children based on the evidence that was presented at those two hearings and immediately ordered the parent into inpatient chemical dependency treatment. If she would have been ordered into that inpatient chemical dependency treatment, as the evidence recommended to the court, they would have had to be placed outside of the home because she wouldn't have been there to parent them.
Was there anything filed asking the court to do that?
Oral motion was made at both July hearings in this past summer of 2008, which I believe is sufficient. I understand that we regularly file ex parte motions to remove children with affidavits, but that's because it's ex parte. We don't have the defense attorney with us, the guardian ad litem. We don't have a court hearing yet. So it's an emergency situation. We file that with the court. They review the affidavit to determine whether or not it's warranted and it's set for the hearing. But we were all there anyway. We were all at an evidentiary hearing. Evidence was received. I believe it's appropriate to make that type of oral motion.
The oral motion was only for the removal of the children, wasn't
correct.
It? It wasn't for placing the parent into an inpatient treatment program.
Well, and I think it's two separate issues. But the oral motion for the removal, I believe, should have been made and should have been sustained. And that's what I'm indicating that I liken to an ex parte motion for immediate custody and removal. As far as the chemical dependency evaluation and ordering the mom into treatment, our office concurred with the recommendations of the exhibits in terms of that chemical dependency eval to adopt that recommendation to order the parent into residential treatment immediately. And it was expressed on the record, the gravity of the situation as we viewed it in terms of the immediate safety of these children given the exhibits received by the court in terms of those positive UAs, the chemical dependency evaluation, the history of the case. But we were not trying to be disrespectful or non-compliant with court orders in terms of written pleadings. our hands were tied in that respect, so we had to proceed with the evidence at those hearings and the oral motions. The alternative would have been to file a written pleading indicating a motion to remove the children, and it would have been separate hearings, but we were already meeting every single Tuesday. And so we feel that that's what we did on both of those hearing dates, by making that oral motion to remove the children.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
It's my understanding that the trial judge did two things, that he dismissed, terminated the mother from recovery court, and then he terminated the court's jurisdiction over the mother and the children. And I understand that you take issue with both of those orders.
Yes, Your Honor, I'm extremely concerned that not only was our motion to remove the children overruled, our
oral motion.
Yes.
Okay.
Our recommendations for inpatient treatment were not ordered, but to terminate jurisdiction completely, relieve the department there, cut all services to those children and any hope of that mom receiving the residential treatment that she needed.
What would be the basis in the record as it was, given your absence in filing a petition for an affidavit and a motion for the court to continue jurisdiction?
I think that was clear in his last order that she failed to comply. She has not received treatment for her chemical dependency addiction that brought these children into care. But there's been no progress, no compliance, no success. Nothing changed.
So
but frustration.
In other words, the record established at that point that there was clearly a continuing problem with mother. The recovery court wasn't working.
Absolutely. I think I've never seen a clearer order than Judge Thompson's final order in terms of pretty much.
Okay, so the situation was the recovery court wasn't working, but the problem still existed, and your position is because the problem still existed, you had mother with children in the home, mother is obviously still using, and that's a basis for the court to continue its jurisdiction and then decide what to do next.
Absolutely. They
upon
could.
Evidence and that
yes,
sort
Your
of
Honor.
Thing.
They could have remained in department's custody under the jurisdiction of the court for placement to include the home and I guess continue at this rate or the residential treatment. But
and that, in effect, as a result of the judge's termination of jurisdiction, he's basically just turning this woman loose and her children and whatever happens, happens.
That is how I feel about it.
Okay.
Except it was without prejudice, so that if there was actually a problem, further action could be brought to the court.
How would we know, Your Honor? There's nobody in that home, and there is no authority that we have to enter her home.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Emma Kudrow. I'm from the Douglas County Public Defender's Office, and I represent the mother in the case, Cal Calford. She's the mother of the four children named in the petition. And we would begin with stipulating to the problem the county articulated that Ms. Calford and her family faced when this petition was first filed. But I would specifically direct the court to even the county attorney's brief of all the services that were provided to this family once they entered the recovery court in May of 2007. Specifically, the chemical dependency evaluations, the psychological evaluations, there were psychiatric evaluations, there was case management, there was family support, there was contact with the schools for the children, there was help in obtaining housing, and there was help in maintaining employment. And the situation, the reason that drug courts are successful is that in May of 2007, this woman and all the parties met on a regular basis before Judge Thomas from May of 2007 up until the time the case was terminated in July of 2008. Weekly scrutinized reports of how the mother was doing, the services provided, and how the children's placements were going was all part of the record, was all part of the point of being in a problem-solving drug court. In December of 2007, the decision by the court was to place the children back at home. Again, as the court has noted, from December of 2007 up until the time that Judge Thomas terminated this case, there was no motions by the county attorney. There were no motions by the guardian ad litem. There were no reports to the court to change the placement or to change the plan for this family. Granted, and that the record is clear, that in December of 2007, she relapsed. And she admittedly and reportedly admitted the relapse almost immediately, met with the team, got back with the service providers, continued to have the children placed at home, and continued to have weekly scrutinized court hearings before Judge Thomas from December 2007 to July 2008. Again, I think the record is clear. No reports from the court or from the caseworker were ever submitted with respect to changing the permanency objective, and no reports were submitted the guardian ad litem's behalf, the state's behalf, the caseworker's behalf with respect to changing placement or to changing plan.
Excuse me, are you telling us that the most current information about what mom's doing or not doing and the status of the children is from December of 07?
December of 07 to July of 08, there were reports with respect to how the children were doing and how mom was doing in treatment, and those were provided on a weekly basis.
And do those reports indicate that the mother was still having drug and alcohol problems?
There was the relapse in December of 07 that she admitted to, and then she re-enrolled in her outpatient, or continued with her individual therapist with respect to that issue. There was a new chemical dependency evaluation ordered. I believe that is what the county attorney is arguing, is that when that new chemical dependency evaluation was completed, there was a thought that perhaps she should re-enroll in an inpatient program. But I would argue the record, the reports are reflecting that that was never the court order, that she, in fact, needed to enroll in that. She continued to meet with the drug court. She continued in her therapy. The children remained at home. That was never the court order that she had to go into the inpatient program.
But irrespective of whether the court made an order the court had before it at the time of the dismissal of the entire case, that she was still having, and in the opinion of the people working with her, that she was still having a problem.
I would argue that December of 07 it was clear, and she admitted that she used again. But after that date, there were some drug screens that came back positive, but Ms. Halliburton was contesting those, saying that it was because of her health issues that the screens were not clear. So I don't think Ms. Halliburton would concede that she was still having the problem. I think there was that chemical dependency evaluation that pointed out that their recommendation, their professional opinion was that she needed that level of care. But again, I would point out none of the parties and the court orders did not reflect that she needed that level of care. I point to the court that from December of 07 when the children returned home to July of 08 when Judge Thomas terminated the case, there was never a change in plan or placement for this family. I think it's important for the court to recognize this was a weekly meeting with all the parties. If any party, county attorney, CAL, the Department of Health and Human Services, felt that there was a need for a change of plan or placement, they had the opportunity to present that evidence to the court by motion, by report, and I'm arguing to the court today, they did not do that. So Judge Thomas, in July of 2008, specifically started to ask the county attorney's office if they could articulate by motion or evidence what their concerns were with respect to the placement. And I would argue that that was the nature of the county attorney's argument, was not to remove the children, but to review placement of the children. There was never a specific request to remove the children by motion. It was a general, let's look at placement of the children, let's look at the placement that the children were in. Judge Thomas then again said, if you have evidence that you want me to consider with respect to the safety and well-being of these children, you need to bring it by motion or evidence. We come here every week. I'll give you till next week to bring me something so that I consider it. The next week came, there was no new evidence, there was no new plan, there was no new motion before the court, and Judge Thomas again inquired, am I correct? Nothing has been filed, nothing has been presented to this court as of today's date to have me change the plan or the placement of the children. Again, from the record, it's clear that there was none. He then again specifically inquired of the department, were they prepared to prepare an affidavit to state into court to articulate reasons why the children were at risk or a change of permanency objective? Again, the department said they were not prepared to do so. So Judge Thomas took control of his docket, a case that he had been presiding over since May of 2006, a case that he had been scrutinizing since July or May of 2007, and decided that at this point, with no further evidence, no articulable concerns, that he needed to control this docket and terminate this case from the juvenile court. I'm asking this court to affirm that decision.
Thank you very much. No questions. I believe the appellant is out of time. Very well. The case will be deemed submitted, and counsel excused. Thank you very much.